Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know what? It is an honor that you have joined this particular podcast. I am so honored and humbled. Thank you very much. This platform, this Industrial Talk platform, if you're out there on video, I'm pointing to the logo, is all dedicated to industry heroes like you. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, and boy, are you changing the world through your innovation. You're changing my life. That's why I love you, and you're changing lives around the world. That's why they love you. All right. Hot seat in the Industrial Hot Talk hot seat, Bill Coletti. That's C-O-L-E-T-T-I. He's with Kith, which is pretty cool. His domain is kith.co. Kithco. It sort of rolls, right? We're going to be talking about crisis management. Boy, do we need to have that conversation, especially in this next normal. Let's get a crackin'. Yeah. Go out to a stat card. Bill Coletti. And I think when I popped it up, of course, he is the first one. So C-O-L-E-T-T-I. Great. By the way, if you're looking out on that the video right now, that's his book right there. And I'm pointing to it. I'm looking around, pointing to it. Critical Moments. Yeah, he's an author too. So he knows what he's talking about. All right, before we really get cracking on that interview, I got a couple of things that I need to get off my chest. And I'm going to be doing a LinkedIn Live, which then I use StreamYard as a way of doing my lives. And it's a cool product. If you need to do lives, look into StreamYard. And it's pretty simple and pretty powerful, and it allows you to do a lot of good things. So I use StreamYard. And so it's going to be broadcast tomorrow, 10 o'clock my time, which is central. And it is going to be on my LinkedIn page. Yeah, my LinkedIn page and YouTube, my YouTube, the Industrial Talk YouTube, as well as Industrial_Talk Twitter. I have also the Industrial Talk Twitter handle too, but it's not going to be going out on that one at all. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about something that's been sort of eating at me, and I'm not sure if it's eating at you, but I'm going to get it off my chest. And I am serious about this. I'm serious because we, industry, have to figure out strategies, real strategies that communicate to our customers and our prospects and keeps the attention into what we do as a business, right? And the way I'm seeing things sort of transpire, given a few months and looking at them, being on some panels and here and there, it appears that the strategy is do webinars, coordinate it with a lot of these other organizations that can create these virtual conferences, and take my PowerPoint as much as I possibly can and just rifle through it and hope that people will see it and hope that somebody will say, doggone it, knock, 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 I need to have your services, and boom, revenue. I'm not sure if that's happening. I'm not sure if people are actually listening. I'm not sure if people are actually engaged. And it's we've got to do a better job. We've got to think differently, because and I'll go into details tomorrow, but the reality is that we got to do a better job. And I think it comes down to a number of points. One of the points is that we're killing people with PowerPoints. We're killing people with all of these wonderful features when we're still trying to survive. How do we survive? How can we simplify it? That's sort of where I'm going, right? I see the necessity for these virtual events, but I think I'm leaning more toward the on-demand, because I know me. I'm just using me, and I've pinged other people within my network and asked them some similar questions. If I have an interest in I don't know, IoT, whatever. I just got done eating my SpaghettiOs at night. And I have this, something just popped into my head. I can go to the World Wide Web and I can pull off information that sort of satisfies that interest. We got to be more on demand. And that's just me just sort of thinking outside of the box. And how do we do that? Anyway, we're going to have that conversation tomorrow at a live 10 o'clock East Central Time. And, you know, join. Pop in some questions. But I just got to get off. And the other thing when I do these lives, just FYI, just between you and me, there's more efficiency. Now, there's some challenges here where how I like to edit and flow. But the reality is that I can do a podcast, make it alive, cut it into my my platform, use a video. There are multiple ways of being able to communicate that message with just one live. You just got to be prepared. How about that? All right, let's get going. Kithco is the company. This guy, Bill Coletti. Let's see. I'm going to pull up his stat card right here. Nope, wrong stat card. Somebody else's stat card. Yeah, he found it. He's the CEO of Kithco. And he's been doing it for about 7 years. He's out of Austin. And he's pretty passionate. Passionate enough to be able to create a book like that. And by the way, that book, yeah, great colors. And it feels good in the hands too. So I like the publication component to it. Anyway, we're going to be talking a lot about crisis management. And boy, do we need that today. I'm just, you know, running, and I'm looking at his form, running simulations, being prepared. And it's funny, some companies, he said that some companies were ready for sort of that pandemic, but others weren't. So what's that message? Well, you don't need to listen to me because Bill has that message. Anyway, enjoy the conversation with Bill. Bill, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. It is an honor that you have found time in your busy schedule to, you know, share your sage advice with the listeners of the Industrial Talk Podcast. How are you doing?
Awesome, Scott, man. It's just great to be here. I want to talk about industrial things, crisis, reputation management, and maybe we'll talk about sort of the 2020, the year that was, perhaps.
The two-finger death punch year. I mean, yeah. I was like, it's getting popped in the head all the time. Never ends. Doggone it. Give us a little background on who you are there.
So Bill Coletti, Crisis Communications and Reputation Management. We serve people by helping them get out of sticky situations when corporations and sometimes individuals find themselves in crisis. We work with individuals that find themselves at the intersection of the public's expectations and their strategy.
Wow, 2020's been a big year for you there, Bill, and your business. I go down the road. It's Kithco, which is pretty cool. It resonates on the tongue, and it just comes out real easy. That's Kith.co, listeners. And tell us a little bit about I Don't Understand Kith.
It's a great. There's two stories in one, so it's a great conversation. So the word Kith comes from typically British English and Old English. And so, Scott, if you and I were talking on a Friday afternoon and we were saying, what are you doing this weekend? You'd say, I'm going home to go visit my kith and my kin. And kin, you know what that is, your kin and your kinfolk. But your kith are your original friends that taught you sophisticated habits. So whether they'll be your college buddies or your high school buddies, you know, try out for the football team, the tennis team, National Honor Society, smoke under the bleachers, kind of that original crowd, that original posse that were kind of your original friends. That's your kith. So your family imprints on the making you the man who you are, but your kith also imprints on you. And so what we do as a firm is we provide and instill sophisticated habits and ideas for people that we really like. We have kind of got a no a-hole rule with clients, is that we don't really service people that are difficult or challenging to work with. So we want to be a kith, which is those sophisticated friends. We want to be a kith to those that we serve.
I like it. I'm just telling you right now, I've never heard the word. It makes sense. It means something. And well, you just sort of stumble upon that.
Oh, dude, that's the better. So wonderful. What an amazing host you are.
Because I would just say, it still doesn't really tell me why. I mean, I got it. It's cool. Yeah. You just stub your toe on it and it's like.
No, yes is the answer to that. I did just stub my toe on it. So we are 6 years ago, we are building the firm. I'm incorporated as Bill Coletti LLC. I never wanted to go to market as myself. I wanted to go to market as a company name. Yeah. And we've got the web designer, and he and I are in a call, you know, all the design things you do is you building out a website and whatnot.
Right.
And he said 2 weeks out to launch, he said, you got to come up with a name for this thing. And I said, yeah, I'll get there. I never found anything I liked. And we're on the final call before kickoff on Monday. And he said, dude, you have got to give this thing a name. We got to get a name on this website. And that's the actual, by the URL, and we've stood up this website.
It's pretty key.
Yeah, it is pretty important.
Yeah.
And so I use a Macintosh, an Apple products, and they have a screensaver that's Word of the Day. And I'm sitting there on the phone, and my laptop turns to the screensaver while we're chatting. And I see this word flash across the screen, KIF, Control D, gives you the definition on that screensaver and takes me on this journey. I read 3 or 4 really cool articles. There's some amazing research about the impact that your KIF has on you done by MIT. And I said, that's it. It's KIF. And so I built the story around the importance of your KIF in decision-making and sophisticated habits. And so it came from Word of the Day on Apple screensaver.
There you go, man. Note to self, man. Bolt of lightning of inspiration came from that particular moment. By the way, I love it because it's not a long domain, so I'm not going to miss. When I send you an email, I'm not going to have a, conniption fit on kith.co. Right. You're not going to misspell that. Trust me, everyone. So well, that's good.
.com, I mean, I get confused with .com every now and then. So
Was that domain taken?
Excuse me?
Was that domain taken?
Oh, yeah, kith.com, absolutely. The New York, it's a relatively popular, not relatively, very popular New York shoe brand, shoe company, tennis shoe guy.
Oh, no way.
Designer for Saucony. And now he's got his own shoe brand and retail outlets all over the, New York.
And that's another story. Okay. So we have this COVID-19. We've had just this 2020 has just been an absolute, I don't know. I have words, but I don't think that would be appropriate on this, but it's been challenging.
It was challenging.
Right? And you've been in business for 6 years. Have you, in this particular time, ever seen anything like this? I haven't. Let's put it this way.
No.
From your, profession.
No. Unless you are a public health expert and you live in these issues, no one's ever seen anything like this. The pervasive nature and the impact that this has had on society, on the impact on corporations. No, we've never, ever seen anything like this.
And I mean, there's a lot to it, right? And we're going to go into that. But the strategy around it, because people are just trying, people and company are just trying to say, I got to survive. I've got to try to rebuild whatever it decides it wants to sort of be a little normal. And then what is this next normal, new normal, whatever normal, what does it look like to prosper? And and I would imagine that strategy, that crisis management strategy has to closely align with business's effort to try to stay afloat, try to rebuild, and then try to prosper. Do you find that?
Oh, absolutely. And so, we talked about it. We did it early days, March, April, May of 2020, which was only a few months ago. It feels like a couple of years ago. We did a webinar series and we talked about a couple of different cool concepts. What does coming back look like? And that's when there were these immediate rapid shuts down. Everybody shut down really, really fast in March, April. There was this long flat bottom where people are trying to figure out what to do. And then various states and jurisdictions reopened. And we can argue the efficacy of those reopenings based on, where we are in a second or third wave and whatnot. But different people came back at different times. The thing we talked about is what lifeguard are you going to trust? Because if you and I are at a public swimming pool and the lifeguard blows the whistle, we all get out of the pool, we wait for whatever is going to happen. And then the lifeguard blows the whistle and we all get back in the pool. But if you're a corporation, it depends on what industry you're in. It depends on your workforce, labor issues. If it regards to what's the state, city, president, what do they have to say? So coming back has been different for so many different companies. A lot of my clients are you know, white collar office workers, and they're not coming back until March. I'm sure some of the folks that you work with never stopped. They might have shrunk a shift or something like that, yeah. but they never stopped. And so coming back and who do you trust from a lifeguard has created a set of problems in communications that I've never seen before.
Yeah. And we still don't have a good handle on it. We still, yeah. And it's just not just there. It's let's say I'm in manufacturing and I've already changed my crew and I put the plexiglass up and I'm training, it's all hermetically sealed and we're all fine, which is important. But the market, the demand side of that particular manufacturing, I don't even know if I could get a handle on that too. It is so complex out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the adage, not the adage, but the standard strategy in corporate communications, regardless of if you're a corporation, the standard adage is, you know, be decisive when you're in a crisis. So if there's an industrial facility, a manufacturing facility, and something blows up, and there's a leak, chemical, natural gas, oil, whatever the case may be, hamburger patties, you name it, somebody that mechanically produces it, and something goes bad, it is stop doing it, fix it, and get back to business as fast as you can. That's the basic remedy. Maybe put the CEO or some operational leader out front that says, hey, here's what happened. We're sorry, blah, 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 whatever the process might be. And so being clear is really important. And for years, I've counseled clients, you know, let's be clear on exactly what we're doing. Let's chart a path forward. This situation, we don't know what's next. We don't know the clarity. We, like your example, you know, people put up plexiglass and do all the things that they're talking about, but we don't know what's going to happen to the third shift. We don't know if the governor is going to allow us to stay open. And so that notion of uncertainty is anathema to every executive leader I know. One thing business craves is certainty. And this situation has demanded us to make decisions with imperfect information. And that's a challenge for people that are not particularly good at communicating when they have certainty. So now we've added two layers of complexity.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're absolutely spot on that. But do you find, because we're in this situation, there's a level of understanding. It's like, I made the decision over here. I was wrong. I should have made it this way. I think that's better. I don't know. Do you find people just a little bit more understanding?
Absolutely. I think a little bit more understanding. Yeah. I think the public and your employees in particular, if that's who we're mostly concerned about, it's who we should be mostly concerned about.
Yeah.
Absolutely get it. Where we have a problem, and I subscribe to ABC, always be communicating. All right. And so let's take everybody on a journey. Let's take everybody through a conversation. I think management by edict is the way we used to do it when we would communicate and say, you know, we're taking off Thanksgiving and we're going to close down the operations for Thursday and Friday. Boom. Not much dialogue, not much discussion about it. This situation has forced us to use phrases like our current best judgment is. If all things continue, we'll plan to be back in January. And a lot of this hedgy language that executives typically don't want to do because they, again, have that certainty. But what we've found is that employees want that.
Yeah.
Our current best judgment is we're going to open up on Wednesday.
Right.
And if it comes Tuesday night and you're always communicating, just like you would do with your partner, your relational partner or your business partner, you'd say, hey man, I think we're going to do this, but maybe I'm thinking about something different. You would dialogue it and you'd have a conversation about it. Right. That is what a lot of executives have struggled with because they're used to just saying, boom, we're doing this on Thursday.
You're absolutely another great point. When you have your workforce that's out of their house and it was like, on Friday, we were at the office and we were by the water cooler. Monday, we're all just shut down and we've got to try to figure out some business continuity opportunities because we're not coming back. And I find that that necessity to communicate differently is needed for these remote workers. It's like, hey, you're still important. We're still doing, you know, but from an executive point of view, I was one in the past. It's like, I don't have the bandwidth for fluff. Do this, go. And I'm just, you know, you're just moving forward. It's a different communication style.
Like Scott, you know, you are a gifted communicator and you get it. You get it now. And I've had so many CEOs, at least six that we work with, that have said some variation of this phrase. I never knew how important employee communications was. Okay. I thought we did a newsletter that talked about United Way or talked about the turkeys that were given away for Thanksgiving. I thought that was the extent of it. And maybe I did a town hall and I answered some questions about what we're going to do next quarter. Most executives, most senior leaders are learning the critical, critical impact of real dialogue with your employees. And we've all become internal communicators. And external is actually secondary.
See, it's interesting because pre-virus, we could get away with that.
Totally.
Now, and now post-virus or whatever we call this, there is a need, and there's good and bad. We all know the bad side. We experience, we feel it. But the good side is that it's bringing around behaviors, bringing around communication capabilities that needed to happen, but it was just never the right time or the right situation. Now it is. And I'm hoping personally that going forward, the DNA of the way we communicate has been improved. I mean, it's
the expectations.
Yeah.
Have changed. Yes. Yeah. You know, so you've got, so just imagine the biggest, most prototypical industrial manufacturing firm in the United States. We don't have to put a name to it, but just think of the big ones that are out there, and there's tons of them. And then think of Starbucks. And so you've got coffee with the CEO of Starbucks and the CEO of this big United States industrial firm. Their personalities, just the base personalities of those two individuals, are fundamentally different. All right. So by definition, their industries, Starbucks, B2C, really highly engaging. You've got baristas and kids, you know, lots of non-technical workforce. And then you've got this industrial CEO. And everybody would say, oh, well, that's natural for the Starbucks CEO to be in dialogue and have these town hall meetings and management by walking around and all these sort of buzzy phrases. The industrial guys are like managing KPIs. They're managing inputs and outputs.
Yeah.
And they're not really that personality. Every worker now is expecting some sense of engagement, perhaps not like kumbaya with every 18-year-old barista. But there are people that are expecting you to care and you to engage. And so I believe that COVID, I say this controversially, hasn't changed a lot. It has accelerated changes that were already happening and made them in hyperspeed.
Yeah.
And so that's what we've seen. And that's why companies have struggled. And then the corollary to 2020 is the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, all these racial justice issues accelerated that as well. So we've got a crisis wrapped up in a riddle. And so it's really a challenge.
Yeah. And it's funny, me, industrial guy, sees that, sees what's happening, but I'm industrial guy. And my natural tendency is like, I'll just turn that off.
Yeah,
I've got my process to deal with over here, and I'll focus on that because that's where I'm at. I'm very passionate, but now you can't ignore that.
No,
and
because your workforce is getting younger, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have to have a conversation of why it's important, or whatever communication you need to start to dole out, and how, because if it was me, you know, it would be just an absolute mess. But you need. You and your organization and people like you to be able to guide us through this interesting time.
It is, but also trust your instinct. And so, you know, I think leaders want to have conversations. All good leaders that I know, industrial, B2B, B2C, yeah. doesn't really matter. They want to be tuned in. All right. And then their receiver may be calibrated for different yeah. signals, but they want to be tuned in. And so I think that this is allowing people to be okay with uncertainty. And as a leader, everybody looks to us to be decisive. Here's what we're going to do. And so I just think that this is a good, healthy exercise.
I agree.
That we have to deal with uncertainty.
I absolutely agree. And what used to be a real, you know, major crisis problem, you know, you make a mistake, doggone it, has turned into, we'll do better next time.
We'll fix it.
We'll fix it. And I kind of like it, quite honestly, because if you're someone that likes to push the envelope and you know you're going to make mistakes, I like the fact that, hey, that's okay. Slap, slap, slap. Keep moving forward. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so, and we're going to grow and we're going to learn. And those are like non-industrial vocabulary. And that's a gross over-exaggeration. There's plenty of enlightened industrial. You,
it's not. It's like, yeah, the whole slap on the back type thing is, nope, get the job done. Change that motor out. Get it up there. Climb up there. Get that, blah, 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 blah. So if I put my company hat on and we're still in this, and I have no insights into when, where, how, what. What do you say the next steps needs to be? But I need help. I think I need help. What is the next step?
Yeah. And kind of where we are now in November 2020. Yeah. You know, hopefully you've always been communicating. And hopefully at a minimum, starting March of this year, April, when the shutdown and whatnot started, is that you are communicating and you're telling people what you knew, when you knew it, and that you're going to get back to them as soon as you can. So hopefully that's been the foundation that you have set and the new culture that you've created.
Hold it. I'm going to interrupt. How do I know? Maybe I am. Maybe I think it's enough.
Yeah.
Maybe you can just say, I've been communicating. Well, what have you been doing?
You ask in that situation. Ask. Do you feel? I mean, that's employee engagement, and that's why there's a whole science and art between internal communications and employee engagement. There are survey tools. There's mechanisms. There's chat apps. There's all kinds of things that companies can use. But I also think that it's not just from the leader, that it could come from the management team, from, you know, line managers engaging with people and having conversations. So I think that there's lots of different options that people have. So
right off the bat, make sure, I mean, just do a little scrub on your internal, external, that communication and using the tools that appear to be, I mean, that would be where I would like to say, oh, I don't even measure up. I'm not even doing the basics. Exactly. That to me has to be evaluated. Okay, continue.
Yeah, it has to be evaluated. So hopefully you're doing the basics and hopefully you're always communicating and you're engaging. We think that using video is a great tool. I don't know if it works in every venue. You could tell me industrial, but I think it does. I think engaging on video is really good and just have a conversation. I think that you just got to be honest. People are reading the news. People are making decisions about for their own family, and just channel that, here's our strategy, here's what we're doing, here's where we're going long term, but we're going to take a wait and see approach and we're going to move cautiously. And I just think vocabulary and authenticity like that is really, really valuable for leaders to use.
I like it. I think the necessity to be authentic and vulnerable, saying, hey, and I've been talking about that necessity to say, I'm human. This wasn't a part of my business continuity plan. Yep. Global pandemic was not there. We're going to make it through. We're going to be positive, but I just need everybody to, we're all in the same boat, being vulnerable too, as well.
Right. So Scott, I'm with you on that. And I love that point. So I'm curious your reaction to this. So let me give you a higher education example and see if it's how it applies to industrial. I think employees, so faculty and staff, as well as students, were incredibly accommodating and were incredibly flexible when we shut down after spring break last semester. And then we went into a summer, and most summers kind of got shut down, and now we're all coming back in August. All right, schools started coming back. Everybody was very, very flexible, turned on a dime, and we delivered online content really, really fast for schools. That is not infinite. That patience is not infinite. By August, colleges should have figured out how to bring and deliver their product, their online classes, or deliver however they're, whatever they're going to deliver in August. So that I'm doing the best I can, or cut me some slack, right, or I'm going to just communicate, is not infinite. It's finite. At some point, we should have figured out how to get the third shift doing their thing if we had shut it down in the spring. Statement that the patience of everybody is not infinite. And you can't bank on that and just shrug your shoulders and say, well, I don't know. You do have to give some certainty at some point.
You do. And once again, your ABCs, you got to be in communication. That's how I look at it. You're absolutely, from an education perspective, yeah, people's patience is running thin. They are, just FYI. Yeah. And I've spoken to a couple of educators, and they were just winging it. It's like, all right, here. This is Zoom. Here, we're going to, and hopefully the kids had the capabilities to be able to remotely learn. And that's a whole nother challenge. Some did, some didn't. What do you do? How do they fall through the crack? There's a whole myriad of challenges. Yep. But I believe, and I'll throw this back at you, if we don't have an answer by next year, a clear, better vision, it's not going to look pretty. I just think I'm tired of it. It's like,
I agree that not going to look pretty is really very, very, very accurate. I think we're going to adapt. We've always adapted. Corporations adapt, workforces adapt, families adapt. I don't think it is, I think there are some industries that are really going to be transformed and never come back.
I agree.
Industrial, I think they can kind of get back to where they are. They've got some demand problems. Granted, I don't want to say there's not demand problems, but I think the supply side, I think we're going to figure it out. And I don't think it's going to be that devastating. And we might have a couple of iterations of it, but I think we're going to come back.
I agree. I mean, we're pretty resilient. We're pretty tenacious. I think as a group as a whole, you know, I think that is the case. Where would I go for communication training outside of your company? It's your company, trust me.
Yeah. So let me rephrase that question. I get asked sometimes, what can I do as a leader to be better prepared for crises? All right. And so we offer crisis simulation. So we can do a big $40,000, $50,000 project where we'll do a simulation, all those kind of great things. Those are awesome. I think the simplest thing, and the thing I would love for the folks that listen to your great stuff, would be pull out the newspaper, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, whatever, and say, if that had happened to us, as you're having a staff meeting, cool, if that had happened to us, what would we do? So the best way to learn communications is to just do what's right for you. Right. So I think the simple thing to do is pull out the paper and say, what if this had happened to us? How would we respond at your staff meeting? Weekly, monthly, quarterly, whatever the venue is for a staff meeting where a leader can ask that of a team, how would we respond? It's my experience, you find a couple of things out. So there's an equation that I have of the key differentiator between good and great crisis response. It's speed. Speed makes the difference, all right? The way you get to speed is this equation. It's your mission and values plus your chain of command. So mission and values plus chain of command equals speed. So your question was, how can I get better communications training? Lots of courses out there for individuals, but they aren't really tailored to you. If you ask your team, if this had happened to us, what would we do? And you keep an eye out for listening. Is our mission and values pulling through? Are the things as a leader that I want this organization to matter? Do I hear that in the conversation about what we would do? Mission and values plus chain of command. The general counsel just says, well, here's exactly what we'll do. We'll do this, we'll do that, and we'll do this. Operations doesn't have a voice. Communications doesn't have a voice. And the guys that sit around thinking about risk are just run over by the general counsel. And you've sat in those meetings and you know the general counsel have disproportionate throw weight. That means a flawed chain of command, because operations has to have an equivalent voice to the general counsel. Communications has to be at that table. Someone thinking about labor and your unions and your employees, that has to be at that table. That's how we get better at communications. It's not by giving you a class on how to talk better. It's how to think about mission and values and chain of command.
I like that. I wrote it down. Mission and value plus chain of command equals speed. If you're not speedy, right? If you don't have that aligned and you're not speedy, then things tend to sort of fester out there possibly.
Because you've created a vacuum.
You have.
That someone will fill.
Yeah, that's right. And it might be the right, it might be the wrong, it might be something in between. Who knows?
Sure.
I like that. All right. We're going to have to wrap this up, but I have a book, right? If you're out on video, if you're watching it out on video, we have a book, Critical Moments, by this guy right here. And outside of the fact that it feels good in the hands, great publication. I don't know.
Thank you.
It's like buying wine because the label looks great. This has a great feel to it. But where can they get this particular book? Because, and is it sort of timeless when it comes to the two-figure death punch of 2020?
Yeah. So the book is really about, reputation management post-crisis. What do you do post-crisis? So that is incredibly durable. And I'm super proud that the IP, which is founded in this concept of these four A's that I talk about in the book, is that they are proving the test of time, even in these days of COVID, is that how do we actually grow and expand our reputation post-crisis? And there's this concept of the four A's. We talk about it in great detail in the book, this journey that people go on.
It's the awareness, assessment, authority, and action. I like that.
Yeah. And so the way that it came to me is that I was meeting with a female CEO, and she's an amazing leader. And we had just kind of gone through a crisis. New York Times was all up in their business, and it was really quite a bad 6 or 7 days. And so we got them through that and managed to move the process forward. She was sitting with me and I was talking about reputation management before I had really built out my IP. And she said, "So what are you talking about? I don't understand what you mean about reputation management." And she says, "I need a model. I need a system." And this is that kind of process leader, is that janitorial services, HR services, legal, you name it, there is a process and a system in every major corporation, regardless of whatever the department is, there's a system. Give me a model of how that we manage reputation. And then she said, "What I'm familiar with from marketing is the four C's." Okay, so there are these four C's of marketing that people sort of talk about. And so that led me to create these four A's, so that there is actually a model where you can assign staff and you can assign budget to all four of the four A's that you just talked about. And that's sort of the big learning of the reputation management journey, is that even something as soft as reputation can be managed the same way you manage, pens, paper, HR, or legal services.
All right, I can
be managed.
Well, we're going to have to wrap this up there, Bill. Now, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Are you active out there on LinkedIn?
You bet. Yep. Just Bill Coletti. I think I'm the only Bill Coletti on LinkedIn. Love producing content. We put something up there at least once a week, maybe a little bit more. We do a weekly blog post where we talk about crisis and reputation. Yeah, Bill Coletti on LinkedIn.
He's also out on Facebook, as well as his company's out there on LinkedIn, as well as Twitter. You've got they'll all be out there. Listeners are going to be out at industrialtalk.com, and it'll be associated with his wonderful podcast. You're bringing the lumber, baby.
Thank you very much.
We definitely need this.
Yeah, it is. Nobody's immune to this.
It's an equal opportunity.
McDonald's, Starbucks problem.
Ooh, new negatory. Absolutely. I've lived through it. With my small companies, it's the same. It's like, yeah, that's awful. How do I get out of this?
Because the people that matter to you matter.
They do. They do. All right, Bill, thank you very much for being on the Industrial Talk podcast.
Scott, thank you for what you do. Awesome stuff. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Hey, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. Don't go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
I want to say thank you. Thank you, Bill, for being on the Industrial Talk podcast. Absolutely enjoyed the conversation about crisis management. What you're going to have to do out there, listeners, got this book, Critical Moments. Got to get it. Got to get it. Got to read it. Got to look at it. Especially today, it's an important time, especially in this next normal. Also, reach out to him. Great stat card. Bill Coletti. You will not be disappointed with that one, as well as his company, Kithco. Kith.co. You know, you got it. All right, I want you to take it to heart. We've got to be successful coming up in this next morning. We got to figure out strategies to make that happen. I'm going to challenge your thinking on webinars. I'm going to challenge your thinking on virtual conferences. We've got to do something differently. Be bold, be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with people who are bold, brave, and daring greatly. I'm telling you, we'll not be disappointed. Reach out to me. I'm trying to be. Have a great day. We will be back with another great interview shortly.